realize that that very simple song, at least in my mind, is one of the most difficult Christian songs to sing, Christmas songs to sing, and have it come out sounding good and worshipful. Brian, you did a wonderful job with that. It's one of the songs that I try to avoid. It's just that hard. You know what this morning tells me? It tells me that God is alive and well. It tells me that God is working in and through this body of believers. And it tells me that the enemy is angry. When the enemy gets angry at a group of believers, the first thing he tries to do is to sow discord within that body. And you are bound together so tightly and love one another so much that he hasn't been able to do that lately. And so the next thing that he tries to do is to disrupt worship. And with the advent of technology and the way it's been put to use in our services over the last 20 plus years and getting more and more involved, that's always been one of his targets. And so what happened this morning has a very simple explanation. It's called enemy forces at work. But did you notice that God continued to be greater than the enemy forces? And our choir didn't get frustrated and upset and out of sorts and were able to pull us right back into where God wanted us to be. And that God not only made his presence known through them, but then Brian came and sang a song which just really blew me away. Not because of Brian, but because of what God was doing in and through him. And now we're going to look at his word. We're going to focus there. And we already know that the enemy's on the rampage this morning. So, Charlie, you come and pray for us just before we open the word.
Go this morning that you're so strong in our spirit that the devil can't touch us.
Yeah.
We love you and we honor you.
Amen. Amen. I hope that by now you found your place in Luke chapter 1. We're going to be reading a rather lengthy passage this morning. So stay with us, follow along as we read these verses from verse 5 through 25. You will see in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. He was of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. That's going to be important. Don't forget that phrase. Walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But the angel said unto him, whoa, that backed up. Wait a minute. Technology. Here we go. Let me look at something. Technology. I'm at verse 7. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. While he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen not by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said unto him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great before the Lord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this conversation going on? And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife, you see how delicately he said that, is advanced in years. He was an old man. She's just advanced. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And the people, among the people, well, there we go again. Well, let's do this one more time. I'm going to throw the whole thing. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. He'd been there a lot longer than normal. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden. saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach from among the people." Listen, guys, it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. Let me ask you, do you get tired? Do you get tired of the repetition? You know, the same old hustle and bustle year after year. The same traditions that sometimes you wonder why we even do this. The same songs. I turned on the radio the other day and they were playing a song that I heard when I turned on the radio in my bedroom, that little transistor radio I had up there. And it was singing Frosty the Snowman 55 years ago. Same singer, been dead and buried for a long time, singing Frosty the Snowman on my radio the other day when I turned it on. Do you get tired? Tired of the same old long lines in the stores? Tired of being pushed and shoved around when you go to get your groceries because people are Christmas shopping? Christmas shopping, Christmas, the celebration of Jesus Christ, and they're celebrating by shoving you around with those buggies while you're trying to get some food to eat. Do you get tired? Tired of the same old fattening snacks that you know you shouldn't eat, but you do, and you suffer for it afterwards? It just keeps going. Story about a couple of guys. It was just a few days before Christmas. They lived next door to each other with their families. They'd been there for years. They were good friends. The two women decided they were going to make one last ditch shopping run for Christmas to the stores on Saturday. They were going to spend the day together. And the guys looked at each other and said, "We're going sailing." They loved to sail. They weren't very good at it, but they loved to sail. And they went, put their boat in the water, took off sailing. They hadn't been out too long in the Pacific Northwest Ocean. It can be a mean place. It's always a cold place. 4th of July, the water off of the coast of Washington and Oregon is somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 55 degrees on the 4th of July. But in late December, these guys went sailing. Storm came up, it kept beating the boat around, and they were amateurs. They were doing the best they could do to keep the boat going and trying to get to harbor, and they ran aground on a sandbar. Well, you know, the only thing you can do when you run aground on a sandbar is get out of the boat and get in that icy water and try to push the boat off of the sandbar. And as they were doing just that in that frigid December water, they were getting smacked in the face with the waves and blown up against the side of the boat and stumbling back and forth. And they were just about to get that thing off of the sandbar. And one of them looked at the other one and he says, "Sure beats Christmas shopping, don't it?" Better than the same old, same old. We got it going. Sometimes for some people, Christmas is a very big time of disappointment and pain and worry and anxiety. There are so many that seem to have such a hard time this time of the year. Some of you right there. Some of you have a very hard time between Thanksgiving and January the 1st. It's tough living. Sometimes it's just painful and heavy. And all the while, we're looking for a fresh touch from God. So let's look at Zechariah's story for a few minutes. Let's see what happens there. Let's check this out. Stanley, let's advance the next slide. Give me the next one, because this isn't working. There you go. Look at this thing. What happened as we read? Herod was the king. Zechariah was one of the priests. He was married to Elizabeth. They were descendants of Aaron. They were faithful before God. Upright, lived a good life, observed all of God's commands. The scripture that we read said that they were blameless. They lived how God wanted them to do. And yet, they had no children. Elizabeth was what they called barren. A lot of things about that. They knew the disappointment and the pain of being childless. I've heard people talk about that. They knew the anxieties of infertility. We had a young couple in our last church that I married some years ago. And they tried for 5 or 6 years to have a child and never could, never could, never could. And finally they did in vitro and that didn't work. And they did it again and that didn't work. And they did it again. Now they have twin boys. But I remember the pain and the anxiety and the hurt that they went through for all of those years and all of that time. Well, I'm sure Zechariah and Elizabeth, being old and advanced, we think they were somewhere in their 60s about this time. They had heard all of the lines about trying to have kids and can't, you know. Just relax, it'll happen. You're trying too hard. You know, have you thought about adoption? Well, you know, just trust God. Or the favorite among church people? There isn't any unconfessed sin in your life, is it? You know, our text not only reveals the fact that there were fertility issues, it also tells us they were faithful and they were not blameless, or they were blameless and they were upright in God's eyes. So this wasn't because God was angry with them, but being infertile was not the end of the story. God delights, listen to me now, God delights in working through people who listen to Him and who seek Him, and who follow Him. So that's the setting. Now we'll look at the fact of being chosen. You know, Zechariah was chosen to be the priest that went into the holy place to burn incense and to pray for the people. I really don't think this indicates that Zechariah was the high priest. Being a high priest is an ongoing office. What Zechariah was doing was he had the honor. Each division of priest would serve in this particular capacity twice a week or twice a year for 1 week at a time. And one of the priests out of that division would be chosen for this particular honor, and they would choose them by drawing straws or casting lots, as the scripture says. The short straw won. Now, the odds of being chosen to serve in this capacity were very thin. There were some 20,000 priests. They chose 52 a year. And out of your division, they chose 2 a year. And so the odds of them, of Zechariah being chosen to serve in this capacity, was just about as thin as the odds of him and Elizabeth having a kid in their 60s. When it was time to burn the incense, as Zechariah was in the holy place, all of the rest of the worshipers were gathered outside and they were all praying. So it indicates to us that even though Zechariah would perform this task for 7 days, an entire week, it indicates to us that this happened to be the Sabbath day because all of the worshipers were together. It wasn't just the priests. Now, Zechariah experiences a coincidence. Well, no, it wasn't a coincidence. You know, man, I am so lucky to get to do this today. You ever say that? Boy, how lucky is he that he gets that? Or I sure was lucky. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in coincidence. Something happens and you start to think that you're lucky, and then you realize that luck had nothing to do with it. It, in fact, was the divine hand of the living God that interceded in your life and worked things around for your benefit and His glory. You realize that you have been touched by the amazing hand of the God of glory. That's what happened to Zechariah. And the angel had news for Zechariah. Boy, have I got a story for you. The angel appeared to him. He was standing at the right side of the altar. And the Bible says Zechariah was afraid. Listen what the angel said, 13 and following. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. You know, hundreds of times in God's word, He gives us the message. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And then he says, your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be the great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn away, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. Just as a side note, if you notice, we just missed some words in that reading. I have been through this presentation 4 times since 8 o'clock. And it was perfect. See what I'm trying to tell you about the enemy? See what I'm trying to tell you? But God is greater. This was life-changing news for Zechariah. I mean, you know, they had prayed and prayed and prayed. We know they had prayed. The angel said, God has heard your prayer. And all of these years that they had been praying, it seemed like God was always saying no to them. And they might have got to the place where you and I get to a lot of times when we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, and it seems like it's the answer is no, or that God's not hearing me or something. We might get to the place, I know we do, where we wonder, does God even care anymore? What Zechariah didn't understand was that God cared more for them than they would ever know. God was preparing a surprise for them. I love it when I hear people say, I don't like surprises. I've said that a few times through the years. Well, guess what? You're liable to get one, or two, or three. God was preparing a surprise for them. They wanted a baby when they were 25, and they wanted a baby when they were 30, and they wanted a baby when they were 35. But somewhere along the way, before they got to 60, they quit wanting one. Because at 60, and her being advanced, that news might make me want to take a long walk off Sharp Pier. But God had a surprise coming. And you know what the thing is about God? His timing is always perfect. He don't come early, and he don't come late. His timing is perfect. Get this picture if you can. Think about this for a few minutes. Zechariah is preparing to go into the holy place because he's been chosen as the special priest for this week, and he's got to get all of the proper priestly garb on to go into this place. You know, they have different wearing apparel for different events and different responsibilities, and he's gotten to get all of the proper garb on. He's got to have the incense just right. He's got to have the implement of fire to be able to ignite the incense. And he's got to remember the ritual that he has to go through as a priest in order for him to be able to please God and to properly pray for the people. He's got all of this stuff going on in his head. He's probably just a wee bit nervous and a whole lot humbled, knowing as he walks into this place, he's in the presence of the living God in the tabernacle, and he is about to approach the throne of God on behalf of the people of God, and he is about to offer prayers that they are depending upon, and he is going to interface with God, and he's probably just a whole lot humbled, and he begins his prayer, and he looks at the altar, and standing there is an angel. And he's scared. The whole process has been interrupted by a surprise guest. And that guest says to him, Zachariah, slow down. Don't be afraid. Relax. And the angel gives him the good news that Elizabeth's going to have a child. You know, things had looked so hopeless as far as them having a child for so many years. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we serve a God who absolutely specializes in that which looks hopeless. Got that? We serve a mighty God who absolutely specializes in that which looks hopeless. You ready to give up? Don't. You ready to walk away? Don't. You ready to just say, I can't do it anymore? Don't. Fourteen more people killed by terrorists. That's the ones we know about. In our country. And we think it just seems to get worse and worse and worse. It does. And in one man's opinion, the political situation in our country right now is an absolute sham. It's just a total disgrace. And people are saying, I'm not voting for anybody. What difference does it make? I'm just one person. What I think isn't going to matter. God specializes. It's His favorite thing to do. Amen. Is to work in the lives of people when it all looks hopeless and they're ready to give it up. It says, you will call his name John. You know what John means? It simply means God is gracious. God is gracious. God was being gracious to Zechariah. He was being gracious to Elizabeth. He was being gracious to the whole world because John was the one that God was going to use to prepare the way for the Messiah. You read through the Old Testament, you see all the times when God spoke to people. And if you look, you will find that before God spoke to Zechariah that day in the temple, it had been 400 years of silence. God had not spoken to his people for 400 years. And Zechariah was the first one that God spoke to at the conclusion of that time. And then, right in the middle of all that, we see the skeptic coming alive. How can I be sure of this? How can I know that this is going to happen? I'm an old man, and Sarah, or Elizabeth, my wife, is old. How can I know this? You know, we face skeptics every day. Sometimes we're the one that's the skeptic. Go ahead, Stan. You know, when Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this is going to happen?" Okay? He's in the holy place. The angel of God standing before him and telling him what God said. And Zechariah says, "How can I be sure this is going to happen?" Probably not the smartest thing that Zechariah ever said in his life. But what's happening is that Zechariah is experiencing the supernatural while he is stuck in the natural. And you know what, folks? We do that every day. God attempts to work in our lives. He attempts to work through our lives, doing that which only God can do. And we look at Him and we say, "Boy, I can't do that. This just can't be right." And we stay stuck in the supernatural. Or in the natural. Somebody comes along to you and says, "You know, you're going to think I'm crazy, but this is what happened in my life." And you listen to their story and you think, "They're crazy. That didn't happen." Why is it when we ask God to do something and He does it, we say, "That can't be"? We refuse to believe that He loves us, and we refuse to believe that He acts in our lives. The Bible teaches me that the living God is present and that He is, listen to this word, always, not just once in a while, but always working in, through, and around my life. But we get stuck in the logical, the natural. So Zechariah was saying to the angel, "You can't really be serious about this." And the angel was reassuring him all the time that he was serious. And Zechariah might have said, "You know," he was talking about how old they were, "I know biology, and we're just a wee bit old for this." And the angel was assuring him that he had his facts straight. He came to the right people. And the message was true. And so out of this, we need to understand that even faithful people, you know, the Bible tells us that Zechariah was faithful, Elizabeth was faithful. Even faithful people make mistakes. Even people that love God, even people that are serving God, even people that are praying to God, even people that study the Word, even people that go to church every time the doors are open, even people whose heart is really to serve God and be what God wants us to be, even those kind of people make mistakes. And Zechariah was one of them. And so we see the sentence imposed. What did the angel say to Zechariah? Listen to verses 19 through 25. Or I'm going to start at 20, actually. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place. The angel said, you're not going to talk anymore until that baby's born, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Now, outside, the people had been praying, and they were waiting for Zechariah to come out. He'd been in there a while. This was taking longer than normal. And when he came out, he could not talk to them. You know, the priest comes out of the holy place after praying for the people, and the multitude is gathered. He always speaks to the people, but Zechariah couldn't talk. But it didn't take long. They understood that he had seen a vision from God because of the way that he kept making motions and the things that he did. Now, one writer says it this way: Zechariah was given the gift of silence. The people could tell that Zechariah had had a real encounter with God. You know, there was that sparkle in his eye, that look on his face, that renewed, refreshed spirit that people just get when they've been in the presence of the living God. But being given the gift of silence, Zechariah was not going to mess up with words what God was doing. You know how easy it is for us to mess up with words what God's doing? And sometimes it's not that we say the wrong thing, we just use the wrong tone to say it, or the wrong facial expression. So how does this all come together and affect me? I want you to know that God desires to touch you this morning. He desires to touch me. He desires to be a part of our life. God wants to make an appointment with you about your disappointment in life. He wants to talk to you about your pains, your hurts, your frustrations, about your disappointment. He knows and he cares about those things that are heavy on your heart, those things that just cause you to struggle and struggle and struggle. And he wants to touch your life with his grace. Perhaps you're here this morning and you feel lifeless and empty. You just feel like you need a rejuvenation in your spirit. Perhaps you're weighed down by sin, unconfessed sin, and you need to be released from that. Perhaps you've tried everything that you know how to try, and nothing that you have experienced has given you any satisfaction at all. God wants you to know that he's saying to you to be still and to know that he is God just now. He wants to touch your life with his love. He wants to touch your life with power. He wants to touch your life with grace. Listen, I've learned that God breathes hope into the stale air of impossible situations. Biology said it was impossible for Elizabeth and Zachariah to have a baby. They had given up on that decades ago now. But here he comes. One of the old hymns that we sing is called Rescue the Perishing. Listen to the words of one of the verses in that song. It says, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken can vibrate once more. You know, God is here. He may be there, but He's here. And He's here to rescue us from sin, to rescue us from self-destruction, from depression, from all of that stuff that the enemy would try to use to destroy you and me today. God is here to rescue from us from that. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there are some questions I want to ask you as we wrap this up this morning. Will you, right now, be still? Will you be still and know that He is God? Will you listen as God speaks to your heart this morning? And will you respond to what He says to you? Boy, that's the big one. Way too many times we know what God's saying to us, and we just keep pushing back. Well, what He's saying to you this morning, what is He saying? I don't know. I know some things that it could be. It could be that He's saying to you that it is time for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's called you. He has spoken to your heart. He has convicted you of your sin and of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He could be saying to you, this is the time. He could be saying to the believer, it's time for you to get on board again and to recommit your life and to really step up to what I want you to do. He could be saying to you that it's time for you to become a part of this fellowship, to make a commitment to serve Him with this people here. I don't know what He's saying to you, but you know what? I do know He's speaking to you. Each one of you, not just everybody else but you. He's speaking to you. So will you listen? Will you respond? Pray with me. Father, here we are. We're in this place. We're in Your presence. We've heard Your word from Scripture. And I believe that each one is hearing You speak by the person and presence of the Holy Spirit in their hearts right now. And so I pray that as You speak, oh God, that we would not turn You away, but we would turn our eyes to You. We would focus on You. We would yield to You. We would lean on You. And we would make that commitment to You to honor You. In Jesus' name, amen. what page?